Okay.
All right, so it's 5:35, we'll get going here. I'm John Lindman, I'm Vice Chair, and I live in the Hidden Springs area.
We're gonna go ahead and introduce everybody. Do you mind going?
I'm Karen Kellogg, I'm a Park New Board Member, and I live in Robinwood.
Hello, I'm Mary Bolger. I am on City Council, I'm the City Council Liaison, and I live in the Blackman neighborhood.
I'm just a friend here since lived in Westland 79 years. I live in the Robinwood area. I'm here to observe you guys are going to do.
I'm Tara, and I am staff, Parks and Rec staff.
I'm Megan Bigjohn, and Parks and Rec staff. Vicki?
Vicki Handy, co-chair, Parks and Rec Board. I'm in the Willamette neighborhood. And Chris?
Chris Owens, Parks and Rec Advisory Board member, and I live in Robinwood.
All righty. Oh, you guys.
Yeah. Who are you guys?
In the room, and I thought.
I'm Erica Dunn, and I am an architect with offices and the project manager on this. And I've been working with Jim Calvillage, who I think came last time to present to you all.
Yeah. So. And I'm Ryan Mattau. I'm a project manager and community engagement expert with MIG. And we're here to present kind of where we're at. This is the second update to this group from our phase two feasibility study project. So I think that's the main thing on the agenda, but I'll let you deal with anything, any other business you can
yeah.
do.
We have to approve tonight's agenda, which is pretty simple. Okay, for those people that have it. I mean, basically, we're going to talk about community recreation stuff.
And then do you want to, yeah. Oh, go ahead. What were you saying?
Oh, somebody to
approve.
Yeah.
Anybody?
Does anybody approve the agenda for today's meeting?
I'll approve.
Okay.
Okay. Second.
Okay. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Approved. We don't have summary notes because it's a nope. special meeting.
Right.
So do we have any community comments?
Deal for two.
Yeah, I have a community comments. I don't want to take too long. I just came to observe mainly to see what direction the park community was going to make recommendations to the city council tonight. Are you going to do that tonight?
Nope.
No. So I just have a few things. So if you're not making any recommendations, the things that I have are against the rec center. So really wouldn't be accomplishing anything for me to bring them up now then.
We can get them on record if you would like
yep.
to, since you're here.
You have 5 minutes.
They would go into the.
It won't take me very long.
Good.
I'm just coming. Wow. Thank you. Maybe it'll take longer than 5 minutes.
Then we'll stop you.
My name is Dale Pertune, and I lived in Westland for a long time, and my Westland High School. My kids went to Westland High School, and my granddaughter goes to Westland High School. So been around a long time. I'm coming to the approach of people in the city that are on fixed incomes and the money that they'll be doling out to this rec center. It's going to be a lot of money. I'm not sure why I can't address the money right now, but I'm coming from a senior citizen who's addressing the fixed income. I really have concerns. The fire just passed a budget. The zoo just passed a budget. And our taxes are going to go sky high. And my daughter is the assistant superintendent of the Clackam School District. And I got to talking to her. The schools are really going to start cutting back now because the COVID money has ran out. And you can look on the news and you can go, all the schools are cutting back. And a year or two from now, well, the city school district in Westland cut $10 million out of their budget. They didn't have to lay anybody off. So in 2 years, they could come back with $50 million or $40 million and lay teachers off. So I don't think it's the right time, maybe later on down the road, but right after this COVID incident and stuff, things are just starting to kind of level out. Inflation is kind of leveling out a little bit, but at this point in time, it's just we're not ready for it. And another thing is I was on the board, 30 some years ago, we were talking about how to develop Westland. And we tried to get more commercial use in Westland. At the time, the city council at that time didn't want to do it. Just be blunt. There was a lot of politics going on, building and stuff like that. And there's no reason why they can't put a nice big commercial building behind Safeway and cut our taxes instead of the building erection. Basically, that's basically all I have. My recommendation to city council. So, not this point of time anyway, maybe further on down the road. I was on the committee for the new police station, which we really, really needed 10 years ago. And they tried to squeeze in the swimming pool at the same time, and swimming pool went way down. And they're talking about adding a pool on later on, which is a just a money pit for swimming pools or money pits. So, and right now, talking to, I went to all the people in division people in Westland, and I didn't personally talk to Megan about, but City of Westland is really hurting for services. You're talking to the police department, you talk to all the roads and everything. My road is a mess, and I'd rather spend money on the infrastructure. If we're going to spend money, I'd rather spend it on the infrastructure. The roads are terrible. My road is all broken up and everything. And talking to the police, nothing against you guys or anything else, but we spent $262,000 hiring these people. Well, personally, I'd rather spend the $262,000 on a community service police officer who can go to the schools. Right now, we have one that goes to the high school, but we don't have any to go to the grade schools. And we desperately need kids to see police officers in grade schools. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. If anybody wants to say anything, that's as quick as I can say. Usually I could talk forever, but I don't want to go over.
Thank you for your information.
Thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, Community Recreation Center.
Okay,
Ryan and me.
Shall we just take off?
Dive in.
Yeah, great. Here, I'll take over the mouth here. We are going to share the presentation here so that we can get everybody seeing it. And I will say that does limit our ability to see you folks online. So please feel free to unmute and speak up if you have something that you want to pause our role and get a comment in, because it'll be a little bit harder for us to see you. But Chris, since I'm seeing you, can you just give me a thumbs up if you're seeing my presentation now?
Yeah, awesome. I have the slides.
Great, thank you very much. So we're part of your larger technical and community engagement team that's been working on this now for almost a year,
yeah.
Just almost a year. We've had a two-phase process. We've been working through the second phase of this after establishing with City Council in December that we'd kind of met a threshold that the community was still very interested in pursuing this goal that the council had set for themselves. We are now almost through the schedule that we set for the phase two of that concept plan feasibility study, which was to take us to basically a few key elements. One is the getting to a concept design so that we can share an understanding of what this building might look like, so that we can talk about it in the same way, and so that we can get to a cost, both for constructing that, the capital cost, as well as the operating cost in an ongoing way, so that we can really make an informed ask of the community about whether or not they are willing to pay what that would take. And so we're just getting to that place. That has been kind of a long road getting there. We've been working with a steering committee and others, as you see here. We've been working through the kind of design on the ground process, as well as the operations and cost and capital cost analysis. We've got some renderings or beautiful drawings of the 3D model of this this concept. And we've also started working in on documenting that that whole process. Throughout that process, we had pretty extensive community engagement, both in phase one and then carrying over into phase two with the steering committee. We've had a couple of, I think, very successful open houses, and we've kind of followed each of those stages with an update to you all as the advisory board, and then to the council to make sure that we're keeping everybody informed as we kind of roll along. Big last step in this process right now is bringing everything back to council, and by everything I mean everything that you all have seen and heard at some of the open houses, but also a poll targeted at voters to better understand, are we going to, you know, what is the appetite essentially for paying for this center? We all have, you know, bits and pieces of that information. I really thank you, Dale, for bringing your perspective to that. I'm not here to rule out any real possibility. I've been saying from the beginning that one of the possible answers here is no, or not the right time, or whatever. And we've of course heard from some supportive people that have come out to say, yeah, we really, really, really want this. And what we don't have yet is something that we can kind of apply to the larger population. So that representative sample will be an important part of that puzzle. And we'll talk a little bit more about how that's going to play out here as well. So we're going to talk through a few different topics. Most of you, I think, have seen most of this material, either at the open house or at a steering committee meeting, or, you know, in the course of us updating you kind of offline, just, you know, making sure that you know what's going on. So we're not going to pause too much as we go through here, but I do want to encourage you that if you have questions about a particular thing, something that you have, like, you've recently thought of or hasn't yet gotten clarified for you, that I want you to pause us and ask those questions. I do want to make sure that we get through all of that information so that I know that we have some folks that need to leave or by 6:30 is what I've been told. So I want to make sure that we can get through this concept and give you a good understanding of where we're going here as we go through. So I am going to start with the site plan and then hand it off to Erica to talk a little bit more about the building. We've been working with the site adjacent to Tanner Creek Park that was originally purchased as an option for a public safety building. It is not currently a park property. And as we have built up a concept for the floor plan, we've been fitting that onto the site in the way that you see the colored blocks here on this slide. This site plan also tags a whole bunch of individual little features, trail connection, as well as enhancements to the kind of existing, you know, connectivity to the site, and then shows the floor plan kind of in sight with the amount of parking that we've kind of been designing towards right now, and the landscaping that would surround and gathering areas that would surround the building. So this is really the first drawing of both the floor plan, this is just showing the first floor, and what the supporting area around the site could look like as this goes from being essentially an undeveloped piece of property to a kind of a fully developed park facility. Again, this is the concept. I'm going to keep emphasizing that because as we go through this process, we've been saying all along, this is not the final answer. This is to get us to a place that we can all have a shared understanding of what we're talking about. And so there's a lot of design questions that need to be answered. We'll be talking about those more. One of the points that's been really important from the start is that there's at least the potential in the future to include an aquatic addition to this building. And at this point, the way that we are doing that is making sure that we have adequate space for that. We're not costing that. We're not including that in any of the other operational numbers or anything like that at this time. That would be a whole additional conversation. And the messaging has been that the way to get to that for those people who are very strongly supportive of that aquatic facility, the way to get to that is to have this building first. So that's kind of the first bit. And I'm going to hand it over to Erica, who's been leading up the architecture team that's helped us kind of lay out the program that the community developed with us in phase one into some shape that we can then start seeing.
Can I add one quick thing real quick? Just something I heard at the open house was that people felt that we've already designed it, so it's kind of done. I had to explain that you can't come up with a price of a building or an operational cost without having some sort of building designed. So just if you're getting asked that in the community, that's kind of why it has to get to this point, even though it's a concept, but sometimes understanding that the pieces don't always hit. So this is informational piece.
And just one other piece to note about those site plans and that, how do I go back?
You should be able to,
I think one of the other things that we wanted to note on this is that, you know, this building is really seen as an enhancement to the park, not as taking over the park. We know that music in the park is such a critical community event, and so this is really leaving that space where that occurs is here. And then additionally, we know this part, this area is really used right now by certain sports groups. And so part of what is in the budget is taking what has got some pretty bad drainage there right now and turning them into a usable kind of open lawn so that some of those sports groups could continue to use it before there was a pool, if a pool ever got created. Say it that way. I really.
I think you could just click here on the top.
Oh, now. Oh, my gosh.
Try the other button. Left button.
All right, so as Ryan said, this is the program that the community helped develop alongside of Ken Ballard, who is our recreation consultant, who has provided feedback for us in terms of how to make a project have better cost recovery. And so there are certain programs that you want to have that really draw in more users. And so this is reflecting that. And I believe most of you have seen this floor plan. Okay, so you don't need me to walk through much beyond it, other than seeing it, and it's really, you know, a connection piece that you can move through to get to the park beyond. There's also ways that it connects to the existing pathways that are already in that park. And that there's a whole portion of this building that would be able to be used absolutely free by anybody who wanted to. Community events and community spaces, everything shown in red is really seen as something that is open to the community and can be programmed, you know, however we so desire, including rental spaces and things like that. We want to have weddings there, et cetera. No, I'm trying to do
it.
All right.
Cooperating.
Yes. So this is sort of the first big rendering to show the overall vision for the building. And again, as Ryan and Megan have said, this is not a design. This is not the design. This is a design to get to a cost. And so you can see that community center area that was the red up at the top of the drawing is here, really connected out to the riparian area here. Entryway coming right into the center in this area here where you have a lot of visibility through the building so you can see it coming up, all the activity going on through there, and then you can also see beyond here sort of the music in the park. We got that question a lot. Not quite recognizing would be taking that place. No, definitely not.
Out of the stage and the people.
And then also what you're seeing on here are solar panels that would help the building to be a little more energy efficient and running off of some of its own power. Usually in a facility like this, it's way too large to ever be net zero, even no matter how big that roof is, but this would get us some portion of the way there, probably around 30%. And then here again, that entry, and just recognizing that there are spaces where, you know, folks can just come and hang out and not even enter into the building, and that it is something that can be available to the community, to visitors coming through, spaces to hang out. And this view is from the park side, so wanting to make sure that the scale of it was kept down enough that it didn't feel like a looming building over the park area, that was still a lawn area for the community. You can see here that community center that has a lot of openness to it, so you can see out into that riparian area. And then again, the lobby space, and this would be that space that you can move through and use without any membership or anything involved with the building. Yeah, a lot of meeting community spaces here. And we'll view here, so some visibility into the gym, so you can see kind of some of the activity going on there as well, and more area in this sort of what we're calling the living room space that people can go and hang out. And then this is a view from up above that area where we have a lot of the cardio and weight equipment. You can see some of the connection beyond to nature. The last one is our walk jog track over the basketball area. And I know that the walk jog track is often a very popular feature that people get really interested in because of our weather and the inability to really walk outside so easily.
Relatively unique feature as well in terms of the other facilities that we looked at in the region. It's something that's been talked about, but often it gets engineered out at the point, you know, down the road if a cost needs to be cut. But we see this as being we've heard a lot of excitement around this feature as really adding functionality for people who maybe don't have kids and definitely adding to that all year round aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. Additionally, even people who do have kids, if their kids are down here playing in their basketball game, parents can be walking on the track
sure.
Getting some exercise. Mm-hmm. And then this is The nice part about the way we designed today is that it's all in 3D model. And so you can basically actually turn it into video of what it might actually feel like.
Thought somebody had guessed.
Just looking for, seems like I could be able to turn it now, but maybe not.
Maybe just turn the sound down.
There we go. I've got it. It's sharing the computer audio is causing the problem. So sorry, we don't get to have the inspirational music.
Yes. The heroic inspirational music. That is pretty neat to see. Very cool. Yeah. Okay, that's really fancy. Yeah. That looks so cool.
Wow.
I like that post name effect.
Yeah, the right.
Yeah, that feels very now I'm worried that we're that's where that button is. Okay. Theoretically we should not be getting feedback now, but okay. Sorry about that.
Excuse me, Brian.
Yep.
Before we go on to cost summary, I'm assuming this is also a little bit of a dry run for city council meeting. Is that a correct assumption?
Yeah, our intention here is that really the information that you'd all be seeing here is the same as what we would present to city council with the addition of the polling results. So yeah, that's a great question.
Excellent. So before we get into the project summary cost, just a couple of things. When you're presenting the center, to also just in your speaking notes, add in this will be a great central community meeting place, as you show the outdoor tables and the patio. I think that's a big win. The other is that this fits into an emergency preparedness plan, just as two additional points in our favor before you get into the cost summary.
Okay.
I sound like a frog tonight.
No, we got you.
Speaking to the multi-generational part, and we've said it so much though, but when we go to talk, to really know that people that's our intent, that's the intent that the community wanted.
Yeah, I think the other thing that I might add back into this presentation for council is just the reminder of those goals. I think that's one of the things that you're both echoing is things that we've said a lot, but we didn't say in this round. So thank you for that. That's a really great reminder.
And on your project goals slide, which is an excellent slide, and I agree, I think that is an important slide, but change it from project to community and recreation center goals so that they know that these are our community goals, not the project manager's goals. So I think tonight we have to make sure that we set you up as strongly as possible for success in the presentation. So these are some of the little things. I know that they're little picky things, but this is kind of getting it ready for the final show.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And one of the things that Megan pointed out to me as well is that we will have one more Park and Rec Advisory Board meeting before we sit in front of council. We aren't currently scheduled to come to that. That doesn't mean that we can't be present in one way or another. But I really do appreciate it. I just wanted to open that door that there's also some room for additional thinking and or kind of refinement before we go and sit in front of council. So I do appreciate the guidance on that as well.
And in case John has to leave, there's going to be information coming fast and furious over the next few weeks. So I know I'll be emailing you if it's before the 13th, we'll be looping everybody in because it's running right now. I think Ryan and I are meeting almost daily right now with things it feels like, or emailing at least. So
I want to have Erica talk through the capital cost estimate, and then I'll run through the operating cost estimate as well, so that we can kind of understand the pieces that go into that and the end result of it. So why don't you just give us an overview of what we're what we're talking about?
Yeah. So the cost estimate was done by a firm called DCW, who does a lot of community recreation centers, and so they have great familiarity with this type of a project. So we shared with them the plans, those renderings, so that they can get an overall understanding of the project. And then they actually do a very detailed cost estimate that breaks it down by different, the materials that are going into the building, the structure, et cetera. So, but all of that is with the understanding that this isn't the final design, and it's not a complete design either. So there's a lot of assumptions that they have to make as part of that process. And so really they see their goal as risk mitigation. Where is there potential risk in a project like this, where we want to make sure we're accounting for that, even if we don't see it in the drawings that we're looking at here. And so the way they do that, they break down the project into building and site components, just to understand those separately. And there are contingencies that are added onto that. And that contingency is for those risks that we just don't know. They're the known unknowns. We know they're going to come up, but we don't know what they are. We also know that the project is not starting construction in today. So while they do their estimate in today's dollars, they then add an escalation to whenever we might think the construction is going to happen. And so this would be if it went out for a bond in November. Design usually takes about a year, which means then construction might start, or bidding might start in April of 2026, something like that. So that's just an estimate on our part, an assumption we've made. And then in addition to that, that is really just covering the cost of the construction of the project. There are lots of other indirect costs associated with it, and that can be permitting fees, design fees, furnishings that are going to go into it. A rec center has a lot of equipment that goes in. All of that is a separate bucket, which is really the owner's cost. And it's really an industry standard to make an assumption that that's going to be about 30% of the construction, direct construction cost. And so that's how this breaks down overall. Any questions about those pieces? So because it is a concept and you don't know, there's a lot of things that we don't know about it. Really, we're looking at it from an overall range, and that range has to do with how much contingency is being added to it. And so for this project, we're looking at a total project cost of $60 million to $65 million. That includes that indirect cost I was talking about. The direct construction costs are $46 million to $50 million. Indirect is then 30% of that overall.
And just so you know, as Eric said, the work is also broken out by the building and the site, and there's some considerations there as we think about future design, like where the big impacts are. You can see that the biggest part of the cost, of course, is the building. But there is a chunk of money that's to the parking and the planting and the improvement of the grounds around it.
And again, the site work is a little bit clearer. You can see that's actually the same number going on each side of that.
Okay.
So we also know that that may not be the final design, and that we want people to understand that there's a lot of things you can do. If that price doesn't seem like what the community is willing to accept, then there are ways that we can start to reduce that overall cost. And so this is just a really quick list that we came up with of ways that you might look for cost reduction in the project if that's something that you want to do. And those can be things that you either take removed from the project completely, or that you might delay. And you can do this when you put something out to bid for construction, the cost could come in lower than what we've budgeted there. If that's true, and there are pieces that got removed from it that you want to include back in because you had more money than now what it's costing, you can do that. So there's a little bit of both of those shown here and how they get done. There's also things that could be deferred, like the solar panel array. That could just be done at a later date. We can have the building be solar ready, but not put any panels, things like that.
So a quick walkthrough of the operational plan really starts with the assumption. So this operations plan, as we mentioned, is developed by Ken Ballard from Ballard King, which is a nationally known, not really the premier consultant in this space. They've run facilities like this and facilities that are bigger than this, as well as done these kinds of operational assessments for many both existing and future buildings. So they start with a series of assumptions that because we don't have a community recreation center now, we don't know all of these things. And so we base them on the way that other facilities have been successfully run. And so these are some of the assumptions that we're working with. Some of these things may change because West Linn may decide that they want to run this facility a little bit differently, but this is a really great place to start. And I want to emphasize right at the front that Ken makes a point to be conservative in his estimates, much like the contingencies, because we don't know yet what the details of programming are, what the details of how people kind of take this up are. We want to be conservative so that we always know that we have enough resources to be running this facility. So again, like the escalation of the construction of the building, we're assuming a first year of operations that's a few years out. So we have escalated these costs to 2027. The budget is based on the second year of operations, which gives some time to run in, essentially to like kind of overcome some of the challenges of staffing and just the vagaries that happen in that first year. So this is generally that second year works out to be a good conservative place to average across a 5-year or 10-year period. So that's what we're working with here. The fees are comparable and are based on similar facilities in the way that other communities in the region and elsewhere have priced their fees, as well as on the rental side, we made because you already do rent facilities, we made a good alignment there with your existing rental schedule. And we wanted to note that some, but not necessarily 100% of the staffing that you have, this would be more than doubling the staff to cover 100 hours a week of coverage at a building. But some of the existing staff would take on roles in this new facility, and there would be some that would have dual roles, and there would be some that would still have roles that are outside of this facility. So the hours of operation are listed here. One of the things that we have called out is kind of in the post-pandemic period, what we've been seeing is that weekends, the kind of regular drop-in use does fall off around 6 p.m. So we don't generally recommend that people plan to be open longer than that. That doesn't mean the building couldn't be, especially in a rental situation or like league use. Of course, a big part of how we develop the overall operational plan is the fee structure. We do have a 25% markup for non-residents here and different fees depending on age groups as well as a household membership. We have options here again. There's lots of ways to get into this building. There's some of them that will be completely free. This would only kick in if you were coming in to say lift weights or use the cardio machines or to take a class or use the gym. You might pay a drop-in fee, which is that top lift, or you might do a month-to-month or an annual membership, which is that lower lift. And these costs are comparable to facilities in the greater metro region. They are also a really good deal because we have collectively paid for a lot of the building and operation here. And that's part of the point, is to make sure that these are accessible to the household at that point. So one of the things that kind of summarizes out to here, so using all of those assumptions, we can take that 100 hours a week and we can figure out how much staffing we need to cover all of that. We've got the specifics of what kinds of positions, where they fall in the structure, and what that amounts to in addition to materials and other expenses is about $2.5 million of expenses per year, and about $1.3 million, $1.4 million of revenues coming in from those memberships, from rentals, from all of the different paid uses in this building. The difference there is about $1 million in this structure. And part of the reason for that difference is because your current recreation staff is running on a shoestring. This is a lot of building that needs to be staffed all the time. and we wanted to make sure that it was adequately covered. Again, we want to have these assumptions be conservative because we don't want you to get stuck in a situation where you don't have the resources to run the facility that you've now created. The cost recovery reflects that 56% in the current model. I will say that many of these operational plans that Ballard Ching puts together outperform within the first few years, that either that cost recovery or just the overall kind of expense and revenue figures. And so we are optimistic that this is the conservative view, not like a bare bones answer. This is the fully staffed, fully supported version of this operational plan.
So one thing I want to add is it doesn't account for any of our revenue streams that we currently are doing. It doesn't take into any account of the program we're currently doing. So if you were to add that into this, which I haven't been here a full year to be able to fully assess that and look at how we're producing, that instantly will be a win regardless when you go into it, but we can't show that number here. The other part of that is that, I think I just lost my thought, it was there and it left. With the staffing, some of the pieces, for example, we have a part-time person who does all of our events and who does all of our marketing. She's only here part-time. This facility turns into a full-time marketing person, not only for the rec center, but for the whole department. For the whole entire city, I have one building maintenance person for all of the city buildings. There will be a building maintenance person over there, plus another half-time that just instantly adds to our plethora of being able to care for all of our facilities. So it's that kind of that bigger picture that's hard to paint, but there's, I think, a lot of room to get below or get a better cost recovery than what we're able to show. But we don't want to oversell something that we don't know how it's going to be. So.
And so just kind of showing that all together, there's an important part of this story that is being brought up in your community. And that is that it's been clear from the start that you all have been clear, city council has been clear that there's no money sitting around waiting for this facility. So the cost to build this, the cost to operate it needs to have a source. And so what we're looking at right now is in order to get to that 56% cost recovery, there are some programs that will cost at the door. There are some things that will cost you to access. There will probably need to be an ask of one kind or another of the community to help operate this on an ongoing basis. That could be done in a few different ways. The main options right now on the table are an operating levy, which would be a 5-year local option levy, or potentially the park maintenance fee has the potential to cover this as well. And then there is the cost on top of that of building the facility, which of course you have to have before you can do any of the other pieces. I might want to explain that in the other order. But the cost to build the facility is going to be a substantial ask, and we need to be really honest about that as we go forward. And we're trying to make sure that all of the information is clear here, but also that this is what we consider to be the summary of that kind of conservative look at what the costs will be. So we left this in as an opportunity for you all to just kind of reflect. I know some of you were able to be at the tour that we held for you, for the steering committee, for city council members, for staff to come out and check out a similar facility in Hillsboro. And I'm just going to pause for a second and see if anybody either in the room or online has anything that has come to them that's been new information or new kind of like realization about that facility and the things that were important to understand about that facility when thinking about a facility in West Lynn.
Anybody?
Vicki, did you have something you wanted to say?
No, I was just going to say that your visuals and the architecture that you have for us is just so outstanding. I don't know how much more looking at the other facility would provide other than, like you said, just one slide, quick tour takeaways, but not go through a whole, you know, the video or any of that.
I think you're right on that.
On ours. It just is confusing.
Yeah. So then, what I do want to reemphasize, and we will continue to grow this in the presentation for council, is that the community engagement in this process in phase one and phase two has been continuous and has been building on itself. We've learned at each step of the way, we have been guided and have really taken away both comments from the general public and specifically from the steering committee that have influenced what this design is, what these operational costs are, what we want to have in the way of outcomes from this process. So some of these visuals you've been seeing, some of these things are the direct result of conversations in your community. And the most recent of those was a second open house that we held just last week. I wanted to just summarize a few things that we heard at this one. I think the biggest piece of it, as I heard it, was an ongoing interest, an echoing of things that we have heard in other places throughout this process. And one of them is that need in this community for teen and tween spaces specifically, like places for the youth of Westland to gather that are maybe a little bit overseen, a little bit more overseen perhaps than the Safeway parking lot, but also welcoming to them. And that's something that we heard over and over again. I've seen the comment written a number of times explicitly as spaces for kids that they will not get run out of. And I think that that is an important message. Another important message is there is a lot of interest in this community for a pool. There are a lot of people who are still saying things like, I mean, there are people who are coming to this event and saying, you know, I'd be a lot happier if it had a pool, or I wouldn't vote for it without a pool. I don't see the point. I won't say that that is an overwhelming perspective at this point. And in fact, what I've been hearing as we've gone through this process is more and more people coming up and talking to each other. And that's one of the things that I really liked about this open house format was we heard a lot of people talking to other members of the community about things like, well, a pool would be nice, but it seems like a really big cost item. Why would we start out there? The other thing that we heard in this open house that I think that I always want to acknowledge is that there are inevitably, whenever you are going to build something, there are going to be impacts to the neighborhood. And we heard some things about traffic, we heard some things about noise, about the immediate impact of this facility, particularly in terms of construction. So we want to make sure that we recognize and acknowledge those. And then again, that cost piece, we want to be very explicit that there is a cost to build, there is a cost to operate and maintain, and there is a cost to be a member if that is the way that you want to access this facility. In that cost conversation, one of the things that we heard, we talked in the open house really explicitly about what kinds of impacts there would be to the average assessed value home in West Lynn. And what we heard back from a lot of people was they did not understand the difference between the assessed value of their home and their market value. And so there was kind of an importance to breaking that calculation down that people really appreciated. And that people also wanted to have explicitly stated there, is there going to be a resident rate and a non-resident rate if this thing happens? And so we're trying to make sure that we're really clear on that. One other that came up a couple of times because we didn't get it onto the board that was talking about costs was, if we were to do a bond for this, we would probably do a 20-year bond. So just in terms of the answer of how long would we be paying for this, that is the answer. A facility like this, public facility with this kind of durability, this kind of long-term nature, a 20-year bond is very much the average. It's very much the path that the city has directed us to take as well. And then we also explicitly asked about what people thought about ways to reduce costs, both removing things from the program, like Erica was talking about, but also what about partnerships? How do we bring other people to the table? And we heard some, you know, some interest again in the school district. I want to restate that we started there. That was really where we started this conversation, was to make sure that we understood that there were partnerships that were out there for the grabbing, and that's not really the case right now. But that doesn't mean that this isn't a fruitful path to go down. There are definitely opportunities for corporate and private sector partnerships or donations. What several people pointed out, the possibility of partnering with some of the various sources of income for our resources for solar power and green energy systems, so that's an option that maybe could get bought back in. And people were very explicit about that. One of the really important asks that we made in the community was we were trying to break down what would be the impact if we did a couple of different things on the construction side. And I want to be really explicit that this ask was about the construction cost, not the kind of total cost, which is a little bit more amorphous right now because there's a couple of ways we could go on the operating cost. But on the far left side of this image, we asked, okay, so if the homeowners, the household taxpayers were asked to cover all of it in a bond, what would the ask be? And below that is that offset. So if the city were to look for other resources, growing across from left to right, then it would reduce the cost that taxpayers would have to pay directly in the bond. So we broke down those numbers on kind of a spectrum here so that people could say, and we asked them to place the blue dot on this board for, is there somewhere along this spectrum that makes sense to you, would work for your household? And what we saw from this group, from the people in the audience at the open house who were willing to kind of go up there and put their vote on, we did see some at the far ends for sure. Some of the first dots that went up were on the very far end. But then a lot of people started kind of gravitating into that kind of middle to upper third, saying that that might be a sweet spot for them. We're not considering this to be the definitive answer, but it is influencing, again, how we're moving forward with our community engagement and thinking about, like, what could we do with a smaller ask of the taxpayers and households and a commitment to go out and search down some level of outside funding that wouldn't rely on them. And so right now, we're not taking this as a final answer or anything. We're taking it as a point of input, and I wanted to just share that. So just kind of to wrap up some of this, there are some very important next steps going on right now, like as we're talking. We have been working towards, and we've talked to you about this 1-2 hit of the final community engagement being a voter poll. So we are targeting the audience of voters in West Lynn to try to get a sense of, would voters support an ask or multiple asks in the case of a capital ask and an operating ask. We're going to follow that poll immediately with a community survey that's going to be offered online to everybody. And our intention is to mirror that poll. So basically, everybody who doesn't get called for the voter poll will get a chance to have that input. And we're going to, because of timing, because of the way this has run out, the polling is going to be coming in right as we go to council next to kind of give them this presentation. And for that matter, it's going to be coming in right at your next meeting. And the community survey will just be launching because we want those to not overlap. And so that community survey is going to run over that period where we're talking to you and to the council, but it will be open for the public to see what the questions were asked, how they were asked, and provide their own input on that as well.
I really was listening. I really was. Can we go back to the previous slide? So that's assuming, I wish my home was assessed at 427. I really wish that. It's not. But so that's 427. So the number, let's say per 1,000 is going to be $1,218.
It's actually $1.21 per 1,000.
Okay, and then just multiply it by the assessment. And then is that just for the buildings?
That is for the capital cost. That is the built part of it.
And then the operational is $1 million.
Yeah.
Like, so when you look at the comparative amount, it's, you know. Yeah.
And right now, if you took the far left side of this spectrum and added in a levy for the operations, you're looking in the like $1.50 to $1.70 range, I think, for everything, like with the operations in there per 1,000. That is, like I said, one way that that could be funded. Where the operations side has a lot more, like there are a lot more things that could shift in that number. And it's one of the reasons why we started with this, which was the bigger ask. And it's also kind of the critical path ask in terms of, like, you don't incur any of the operating costs if you can't get to a building that people are gonna build. So we were, I will admit, maybe a little overly focused on the capital costs. And I think that we maybe missed being as clear about that as we could have been. That's what we were talking about, and also what it might look like rolled up. And so we're already talking about how we can be clearer about that going forward too.
With the information going on the website too, for those in the survey piece, part I'd like to say I'm super proud of this project with, not only of all the people we've gotten to meet, but like the timeline for this polling was supposed to be a few weeks ago. And because every time we've heard something, we've adjusted. So we haven't just been going, are we going to a bond or yes or no? This group has all collectively, we've all sat there and tried to adjust. That's why we're at the 11th hour of this bond, or the bond, the polling, because we heard one thing and we realized that we need to adjust it to be able to give council the best information that they can use. And so I've been really proud that it's been a lot of stress because things are coming, but we didn't just go straight to the end mark, right? We've wanted to adapt and adjust, and we have all the way through. And it's taking a little, maybe not toll, it's like, okay, we're almost there. But that's why you're going to be getting information late. It's not from a planning perspective that Ryan has had his plan detailed, but they've all been adaptable to evolve. And so that's why information will be coming at the very last moment.
And ultimately, it's not the absolute last moment. It's just because of the council schedules and the deadline to decide about that November election being in the first week of July, we need to give council this information before they actually have to make that decision. And so that's our goal in this next step is to, we're going to be part of a very big city council meeting on June 17th.
We'll be there. It's like an hour.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of a drawn one because of the joint planning and planning commission, city council meeting as well.
So be prepared.
We're going to have that polling results. And that's where we're going to share them publicly really for the first time. I want to say that for this group, the thing that between now and your next meeting and really before this June 17th meeting, I would like to see you all to be thinking about what kinds of action you might want to be taking in terms of your level of support for where this project is going or what, or even just how it has gone. And I want to, I just want to kind of feed that in your head. I'm not asking for a specific action tonight. I'm not, we're here to make sure that you have information so that you can be working on it as we're working on it. And then the final report, which is a little bit inconsequential by the end of it, it's really about wrapping things up. And I want to just make sure that everybody keeps it in their mind that you will be getting that, because the importance of that is to be able to tell this story if you weren't involved from the start, and also to be able to pick this up as the design team or the campaign finance team or whatever, to be able to pick up where there are still a lot of unanswered questions. And we've identified a lot of those questions, and we want to make sure that that documentation serves you well looking forward. I will say that while this gives you a solid piece of like deliverable, you know, work that you can build on in terms of fundraising and other things, it has a shelf life. In part because costs aren't going to stop going up. They have slowed. As you mentioned, Dale, I think you're right that inflation seems to have slowed. The building trade cost, you know, kind of rocket ship seems to have run out of gas a little bit. It's at least leveling off. But ultimately, the work that we've done here isn't kind of good forever. So we do need to think about timelines as well. And that was actually one of the things that we wanted to just kind of introduce here. Is moving on from here. We heard a lot of interest at the end of the open house from the steering committee members to continue working this process, that they don't want to stop where we're at here or stop when we present to council and provide that final report, that there is a group that wants to keep pushing on this and look for those funding options, especially if the city council is ready to kind of step in and help or to put this towards the voters, we want to make sure that that has its best chance of success. And so we've just laid out a few steps that are possible based on the events and the kinds of activities that might be worth pursuing to build support. Some of these things can absolutely just be informational campaign items that city staff and or consultants can be involved in, but I want to encourage those of you who are not city staff or paid consultants or anything else, that the advocacy part of it is not something that the city will be involved in. That's a separation of power kind of argument, that the city can provide information but not advocacy toward the bond campaign that raises taxes. And we want to make sure that this process helps feed the discussion in the community, because whether that discussion is positive or negative, we need that discussion to happen in this community if it's going to go to a vote. We need to have people talking about it, because otherwise, most likely, if people don't know what it is, they won't have thought it through, they won't have asked their questions, they won't have positive things to say, I would imagine. So these are just opportunities. This is not a set plan, but we did want to just kind of lay out a little bit of a map for you. That is something to consider as we go forward. So that was kind of the core of what we wanted to present. As Vicky said, this is a good walkthrough of the core of the content that we're gonna present to council. So I'm very interested at this point in questions, but also tips about you know, pieces that really hit strongly or need a little bit more clarification, I really appreciate those as we go, because there's a lot. I mean, there's another 30 slides that we could have thrown into this from other presentations we've already done. And we want to make sure that we present the most meaningful and impactful pieces to really prompt the conversation, because ultimately this is your community's conversation about whether this is something that needs to go to the voters, and then ultimately if it's something that this community wants to do. So that's where I will pause for a moment and
stop sharing.
Yep, absolutely. And I'm happy to bring it back up if anybody needs the reference. So
I mean, one of the things you did at our last community meeting was that you had somebody's address, they didn't know their assessed value. They could figure out what it's going to cost. If you want to know what it's going to cost you on your taxes, he can do that for you. But it's about $1.50, okay, per thousand.
You know, so.
Okay, so if you know your assessed value, if you don't know your assessed value, he had a thing that he did at the community meeting, and somebody would say, this is my address, he could see their assessed value, because that's public property.
I love it when I can wow people with my spreadsheet.
That was important, because I mean, the bottom line is that one of the things that's going to come back, and as a retired person, it's the same sort of thing, is what is it going to do to my property tax? Mm-hmm. What is it going to raise my property tax? So you want to be able to figure that out easily. You don't want to hide that from people that are going to vote.
Ryan is working on, we're going to see if we can get it. Ryan's trying to work on a calculator that we can put on our website for people just to go in and put that in there. So we're trying to.
You want to be able to do that. I mean, 100%. The bottom line is that everybody has to decide, if I want to have this community center, what's it going to cost mm-hmm. me per year?
Yep.
Okay. And you know that in your property tax. And you have to get that number. And that number may be something that is, yes, I can do that, or no, I don't want to do that.
And for 20 years, can I do that?
Right. So that's right. where your property taxes are going
to. Yeah. And the feedback of the people that I talk to, and again, I'm with all the retired dog walking people everywhere. So I'm perhaps a little different demographic. But my big feedback is, I want to be able to see that number. See if I can afford it. And there's multi-generational families in my neighborhood where literally the grandparents live, you know, mm-hmm. and then the kids live, and then the grandkids are there, and they're looking at it as, can my kids who just bought a house, can they afford to add this? So I think that even though I think I think the community center's fabulous, but I feel like everybody's feeling like, what's going on? You know, am I going to get laid off from Nike? Am I going to get laid off from Columbia? You know, so it's not just the retired people who mm-hmm. are concerned about the cost. It's people just trying to live, you know.
Well, I mean, like anybody with taxes, you're always, no matter what time of year it is, you're worried about your cost of how much you have to pay, like no matter what the situation is.
So that needs to be on the website.
Yeah, well, we're trying to get that
Because the bottom line, I mean, if the city council is going to make a decision whether or not to put it on the ballot in November, I mean, most people are going to sit down and look at what's it going
to
cost.
Yeah, you need to do the math, and we'd rather them doing the math on the right number.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that they'll get the number and say, this is what it's going to do my property.
100%.
So, I mean, I did that at home once you got the information that we had there.
Mm-hmm. I think you got to look at, too, in those 20 years, there's going to be a lot of other taxes coming up.
Oh, absolutely.
A ton of taxes in 20 years.
It's all about choices, right? And so it's giving people a choice.
In 20 years, you could be paying 10 times more for schools. And so you've got to look over the 20 years. And I agree with you on the assessed valuation, but there's a ton of homes in West Lynn that are $800,000 or $900,000. A lot of them. So don't misconception. That's, you know, that's the lowest.
Well, it is actually, that is the mathematical average assessed value.
I know that's the average, but there's a lot of.
I understand that there are at least half of the homes are above that. And what we're looking at is, we really do want to make sure that people have that number, the right number in their head as they're going forward. And I think,
That's misleading. They look at that, 400,000.
Well, it says average on it, though, too. That's the part I want to make sure.
Be careful how you present that.
Just to be clear, just as a point of order, we have to defer to the committee members, actually. So when the public comes to the meeting, we have 5 minutes. That's okay. I just wanted to make, because we have a member chair waiting.
Yeah,
my phone.
You're good.
Thanks.
That's fine.
And Vicky?
And I got a roll.
Yeah, I knew that's true. Thanks, John.
Okay, thank you, John. And thank you, Mary, for that assistance with process. I wanted to say, as always, it's a great presentation. Two things, two suggestions. One, the levy and or fee was a little bit confusing. Having sat through all of the presentations to date, I know what you were trying to say, but I think that it needs to be clear. We're talking X or Y. If we do X, it looks like this. If we do Y, it looks like this. It just got a little mushy there. And I know that you have all the information. It just something, because that will be a sticking point. And the other piece that I think might be, you know how much I love the Gantt chart, but at this point now, as opposed to what are we going to do, maybe a slide that is in around engagement. I even kind of played with one a little bit, but you know, we did a survey that showed 92% of the population who surveyed, or whatever, I forget what the percentage was in favor of this. We worked a great deal with the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, ensuring that this is absolutely in alignment and a top priority in the master plan. We created a steering committee with all sorts of representation that went deep analysis and identified a high need for this. We worked closely with staff to make sure that we were doing something that was a conservative plan, that we couldn't, that we weren't missing what we could deliver. We had the website and Westland Tidings and the Willamette Market for large scale input. The community townhouse, as well as community work sessions, working with, I love that you included the school district as a potential partner, that, you know, we really did the due diligence. One of the things that I've seen at this point is that people get hung up on, well, where's this all coming from? The ideas, the heads of a staff, a new staff member and a consultant, where this group has done an outstanding job of community engagement. And at each point of the community engagement, listening to all of the points of view, it still has been in the 90 percentile of people who are very supportive of this. And I think that as opposed to what's coming up next, because we're already past that now, it's more, this was the impact of what we did and putting it under the umbrella of engagement. I don't know.
Vicki, I wanted to just throw one thing in there. Megan and I presented to the Committee on Community Involvement at the beginning of this week, and we actually put all those slides together, at least the first draft of those slides. So because we knew that that conversation was going to be so focused there, and that's a really great point, is that our schedule means a lot less now than the impact and the what we did story, as opposed to the what we're going to do story, which that schedule did a great job of helping us through as we were going through the process. So I think that would be a really easy and good swap as we're pushing forward, is to really hammer that story of, we talked, we listened, we worked with your community, your staff, your advisory committees, your all of these people. So thank you. That's awesome.
Vicki, well, one thing also, sorry. I was just going to mention the other part that it feels like it's telling the whole story. Now that we're wrapping up, I had made a list of all of the engagement in phase one, didn't write everything down for phase two because I had the slide, and wrote down all the social media, all the media posts that we had, like on newspaper, all of the groups that we've spoken to, and I would like to be able to have that on our website so people can see that this has evolved based solely on the community engagement. So I think I wrote down, it's telling the engagement story. You know, it's really what it's showing what we've done, how this has been community driven. It's not been by me, it's not been by Ryan, all based on community impact or feedback. So
I really appreciate that, but I think that much of the information is really designed for a linear sequential thinking audience, and you're going to have a lot more intuitive learners as well. And I think kind of a comprehensive, here's all of the engagement, and I can even play with visuals for you if you want, but then to bring in the survey, 92% with Willamette Marketplace, it was 100% of people who stopped were excited. With the community, it was, you know, that we are identifying, not only did we do all this, because it's not about checking the box, it's about telling the story. I mean, you have here are the takeaways of the different pieces. So sorry. But kind of a the big picture, when you put it all together, it's amazingly positive. So I'm thinking a different way of presenting that. And it breaks up that kind of linear sequential approach of information and brings in something that's a little bit more intuitive and big picture. Sorry, I'm having problems.
I totally understand. I'm sorry to hear your chest. That's rough. If you want to even just sketch a couple of things, Vicky, it would be great to get your insights on that. And then you don't need to polish it. We can definitely do some of that work, and we'll. But I think I'm getting the point there, and I'd love to see like what you're thinking of in terms of just kind of like visual presentation of that. So if you're willing to do that, that'd be great. Otherwise, I think I've got pretty good a pretty good start, and we can revise the other direction too. So. Any other thoughts in the room or online right now about either kind of realizations that have come to you as we've gone through this process, or refinements of how we might be able to tell this story? Real interested across the board.
Okay.
I just want to say, just because we had kind of planned the two check-ins here, we may well show up to your next meeting or in some form or another, but I just want to say how much of a pleasure it's been to work with all of you, some of you more than others because of you've delegated some of that work, but also your staff and your team here have been amazing to work with. There's a lot of work that has gotten done in the last year to really explore something that your city council said was important to them, and then your community said was important to them, and then your community said again. You know, it's important and challenging and all of these things. It's like, it really is a rewarding process. And I just want to reemphasize that in the city council presentation, we've taken it very much to heart that our mission here is to build out a shared understanding of what this is and what it might cost and present that, and to not try to game it, not try to sell this. It is really about, here's the information. We have ways that can be helpful for you all to get out there and talk to your community about it. But right now it is really about facilitating a conversation in this community with your leaders. And I really appreciate the time that you all have spent kind of helping guide like how that can happen. And I've really enjoyed the process of this with you all. So I just wanted to say that before we got too far down the road. I don't know if we always get a chance to say it in the for the record. So.
Well, thank you too for all of your time here. And I have a couple more things for the committee I would like to go over. You do not have to leave. Hopefully it wouldn't take too long, but you're more than welcome to scoot out since we've met so much. Vicky, is it okay if I go over a couple items just for the Parks Board?
Sure. We still have our Thursday meeting in June.
We do, but a couple things of timeliness. Okay, but timeliness is that Vicky has created a spreadsheet that potentially for outreach for the Parks Board and to do other things like the farmers market. We are currently not signed up for anything, and there's a few markets left. And so, because the board did not sign up for anything, they were let go as far as those spaces that were available. If you guys would like to do another market over the next couple weeks, to let me know, and then I can get that arranged with the old Willamette district for that event. So that's one thing I want to make sure you knew. The other one is that we're working on the website updates. So all this information people have asked as to why this information that was released on Thursday is not on the website, because it had to be released on Thursday. And now we're trying to work through getting it on the website so that when we get into next week, early next week, it'll be there for people to be available. And then I wanted to those are my main ones for right now. I think Ryan got the others covered. So if there is an interest in doing a market, you can let me know. You know, they're obviously on Wednesday, but I have to see if they're available if they're in the state. So the Parks and Rec side does not have a booth every week. We have to rotate it through the city. So just let me know. That's what I have. Yes, Sam.
Yeah, I am happy to volunteer again on another Wednesday. So just, I don't know if you need to have people throw out dates. I don't know who else is available or how you want to do that.
Yeah, and I'd like to volunteer too. I just need to know dates because you know me, I'm always out in the dirt and forth.
Yes, exactly. Well, we can send, Vicki, do we want to send that spreadsheet that you had created? Do you want to send that to the Proud members as a potential for sign up? Or I can just send the next like 5 dates from, you know, between now and July 1st.
I'll go ahead and send it. I'll send it right now.
Okay. And then you're able to sign up and get back to Vicki, I guess, and let me know if there's dates that hit that I can then go request the booth space. It was really lovely that day. It was fun to get, Dana and Vicki did a really great job engaging people and getting really good feedback. So seems very good.
Diane is amazing. Why don't I turn that into a Google Doc and give people access to that?
That would be great. Then it will be live and we can see who else has signed up.
Exactly.
Right. And can you do it for the rest of the summer for the remaining months? Then we can kind of.
Actually, I have it every other week. And yeah, I have that.
Okay, because the idea is on that other sheet that Ryan showed earlier is to have one each month. That's how I understood it, or at least coverage during each month of the summer.
Right.
Okay.
Let's see.
And the other thing I wanted to make sure to mention is right before we went to the open house, because we had the budget numbers. I forward that all to you guys out that we have new information. So as we're getting that together, which you've seen at the open house, but it'll get listed on the website. So you have the most current information to send out to people. We're working on that. And right now it's polling has taken kind of my time consumption to make sure we could get it correct. To get that going out hopefully early next week. So, yeah.
Can you see the spreadsheet? I'm trying to share it.
Yeah, you can see it. It's small.
You can? You can still.
Yeah. There you go.
So with this, I have what we've already. I did what Diane and I did, just so that you could see an example, the community work session. I did every other week. Assuming every other week with 2 people at the Willamette Market, the 4 neighborhood associations, Music in the Park, Movies in the Park, Old Time Fair. So I just went with some of the obvious things from our park plan. And so I'll just put this in with turn it into a Google sheet, and then you can just sign up as you wish. Does that work for you?
Sounds like it works great. Thank you, Vicki, for putting that together. Thank you all for coming together for this extra meeting. I know we've all seen each other a lot, but we're really getting to that, the end, or not end. Wrapping up to get ready for council. And so behind the scenes, again, that toolkit that we talked about is being kind of prepped. All of this is built into that June time and that getting to, honestly, that July meeting. So thank you all for your extra time tonight. Go enjoy the rest of your day with the sun outside. It's so nice.
Thank you.
Thank you. You too.
Do we need to make a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Adjourn the meeting.
Do we have a second?
Have a second.
All right. Second. Thank you, everybody. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So you've already done the
field. One second for me, okay?
Have you done the polling?
Yeah, we can give 1 second.
Chat stuff out to the